Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning as we meet together. We thank you for all that you do for us. We ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, understanding as we open your word, Father. Help us to be faithful to you. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to open our Bibles to the wisdom of Sirach, chapter 3. Begin in verse 1 here for a few verses. Give heed to me, O children, for I am your father, and do what I tell you, that you may be saved. For the Lord honored the father over the children, and strengthened the judgment of the mother over her sons. He who honors his father atones for his sins. And he who honors his mother is like one who stores up treasure. He who honors his father will be gladdened by his own children, and when he prays, he will be heard. He who honors his father will have a long life, and he who obeys the Lord will give rest to his mother, and he will serve his parents as his masters. Honor your father and mother in word and deed, that a blessing may come upon you from him. For the blessing of a father establishes the houses of his children, of the children, but the curse of a mother uproots their foundations. Do not glory in the dishonor of your father, for your father's dishonor is no glory to you. For the glory of a man is from the honor of his father, and it is a disgrace for children to dishonor their mother. My son, help your father in his old age, and do not grieve him in his life. And if his understanding fails, be considerate, and do not dishonor him in your prime. For kindness to a father will not be forgotten, and it will be credited to you instead of your sins. It will be remembered in the day of your affliction. Thus your sins will melt away like frost in warm weather. He who forsakes his father is like a blasphemer, and he who provokes his mother to wrath is cursed by God. I want to read these verses, and we may read just a little bit more. It's talking about honoring parents, and while there's very many things to be learned here, I want to take the opportunity of this instruction for children to be about instruction for children. This is things that we could tell our children and things that we could learn, but I want the thought and the focus to be on parents and how you want to instruct your children and how you are to raise them and how you are to train them. His very beginning says, give heed to me, O children, for I am your father. The main, we can tell our children to obey. We can teach that children should obey their parents all day long. But the responsibility of the training of the children is the parents. You know, it's easy to tell the children they ought to do something, they ought to obey, they ought to listen. But that responsibility is not theirs. That responsibility is that of the parents. And what I've said before, that training children is easy. The hard part is training parents. The hard part is parents having the discipline it takes to be the father and to be the mother, instead of just letting the children raise themselves and then having to quote verses like, you ought to obey your parents, or you're commanded to obey your parents. There's no need for you to quote those verses if you've done your duty and been responsible in the first place. There are rebellious children. There are children that, no matter how you instruct them, that may not turn out just right. But the general responsibility of you training them is to train them whether they do or whether they don't. If you don't do your job, they won't. But if you do your job, they may. You know, there's just such a pressure that sometimes we force our children and we just take their will away, where they have no, they're just a bowl of mush, just so they appear to be in line. And that's, we want to guard against that. We're not trying to train robots. We're not trying to destroy wills. We're not trying to brainwash them. We're trying to train them to be men and women of the Lord. And that's what I want to kind of focus on. You know, we talk about raising children or training children. We're not training children. We're training men. They may be young, but that's what we're training. Our goal is not to raise up children so that when they're 30 years old, they're children. Or when they're 20 years old, they're children. Or when they're 15 years old, they're children. When a child's 12 years old, he should be well on his way to being a man. He's not a child. That's not our goal. We're not training our young ladies to be little girls when they're 12. We're training them to be godly young women. They're just young. But that's what we're training them for, so that the young women will grow up to be good women, and then they can be older women. That's our goal. We're not training little girls and little boys. And we can start that when they're little babies. We spend so much time oohing and aahing over them, how cute they are, or how funny they are, because they're little babies. We make little faces at them and talk to them like they're little babies. But can you imagine some of the things you say or some of the things you do in front of a child? Would you do that same thing in front of a 50-year-old man or an 80-year-old man? Oh, goo goo ga ga coo coo coo. Oh, doo 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 baby dee bee bee. Is that what you want them to act like when they're that old? We spend so much time training them to be stupid, and then we wonder why we have to spend so much time untraining them to be stupid. It's because, for the most part, that's the way we've trained them. The little child that you have in your hand is going to grow up to be a man or a woman. And we need to start working on that when they're little. Talk to your children like you talk to anybody else, like you want them to talk. If you talk to them with some goofy little child language, is that the way you want them to be talking when they're 20 years old? or when they're 40 years old, or when they're 60 years old. Is that the way you want your children to talk? Well, quit training them to talk that way now. However you train them to do, so many people, they see the child doing something foolish, and everybody giggles and laughs, and the child thinks, oh, this is good behavior. And so they do something else stupid because the grown-ups giggle and laugh. You're training your child to do foolishness and to act foolish. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it may be cute. But we're not trying to train fun and cute into children. We're trying to train them to be adults. Godly, God-fearing, responsible, productive adults. Not court jesters. And not fools. It's all right to have fun with them. God created laughing. God created all of the emotions we have. They came from God. But use them in a way that will help them become adults. We're not trying to train clowns. We're not trying to train comedians. It's all there. But that's not our goal. They can be an adult with a good sense of humor. They can be an adult with ability to laugh and have fun. But we got to have all that in mind when we're training them. That's just part of it. It's not that they're the center of attention, getting all the people to laugh at them. You know, we worry about, or we think about society and how they get their feelings hurt so bad. Everybody's a victim. And everybody's just going around waiting for someone to offend them when they say something. You know, if we train people that they're little comedians all the time, and what happens whenever they get older and they don't laugh? Nobody laughs at them. Their little self-respect goes right out the window. That's not the goal. We ought to train our children. Train our children with ideas of making them good adults. Train them with ideas of if someone laughs at them because they do something foolish, that they don't go pout and feel sorry for themselves. They should be able to take some teasing. They should be able to take some people that are showing them their faults. That's part of what we have to live with when we get older. And we're training them in all of these areas. They need to be able to laugh at themselves and not take themselves so seriously. They need to be able to get along with each other. We're not training robots. We're not trying to brainwash them. We're trying to teach them. We're trying to train them to be adults, men and women, that can grow up and make their own decisions. And our hope is that when they grow up and make those decisions, those decisions will be good ones. But we've got to let them make decisions as they get older. We've got to treat them like young adults. Young men and young women. One of the main things this is trying to teach here about respecting your father and your mother, honoring them, they need to learn how to respect their elders. They need to learn how to respect those that are older than they are. That's part of being a good leader, a good father. You know, everybody thinks that they want to be the leader, the one in charge. But the way you learn to be in charge is you learn how to do that by being a servant. And a child that learns how to be a good servant, respecting those that are above him, will soon learn to earn and have earned the respect of those under him. That's the way it works rightly. They learn, they respect. I've seen so many children. People try to train them and they're so strict that the only person they fear is their father. Because they know they'll get in trouble, but they have no respect for anyone else. That's not what we're shooting for. Our children should be able to be scolded by anybody. And if they're out of line, they ought to take it and be glad for it. And we ought to be glad for someone else. We can't see everything that our children are doing all the time. We ought to be glad for someone stepping in and saying, "Hey, your children weren't doing quite right." So many times we get offended and we get our little feelings hurt. So many times we defend the child and make up for it. And that's how you create rebels. That's how you create little whiners. That's how you create the little victim, because somebody's picking on poor little Johnny. That's not what we're shooting for. You know, we teach her, one of the teachings of Jesus is to turn the other cheek. When you're wronged, What's wrong with someone scolding your child when maybe he didn't do anything? But we get all offended because he didn't do anything. But what's wrong with letting them learn a real lesson here about taking things that are wrong? Training them to be real men and real women. That it's all right when someone sees you wrong or takes you wrong and you bear it graciously and merciful. Raising young men and young women, the time they're eating, to be just given something. We get to the point where we think, oh, we got to ask them what they want. We live in a society where you can go to a restaurant and you say, "Well, what do you want?" And you look at a menu and you just pick out what you want. You know, whenever I was growing up, it was a big deal to go to. We had to go to Springfield to go to a McDonald's or something. And maybe did that once a year. I didn't know what to order. Mom just ordered something for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why do we give our children so many choices when we go someplace? It don't have to be that way. I mean, if it's a special deal, you let them choose one time, or you know what they like, order that for them. You don't have to just be stupid about it or mean about it. But for the most part, I went home at night or in the afternoon or at breakfast. I didn't get a multiple choice of what I wanted. Whatever Mom fixed was what we ate. And that ought to be the way it is. Go to the restaurant now and people take their children out to eat, and it's a 20-minute ordeal, making sure everybody gets what they want. Instead of saying, we need 5 hamburgers and 5 fries and 5 drinks or 5 glasses of water, whatever. And then everybody sits down and is happy with what they get. You got to learn just to accept things that are given to you instead of having to fix everything all the time, having to get what we want. It's part of training. Doesn't mean they won't soon have to learn to make choices on their own. You can let them do that. There's times for it. Just some ideas here. Instructing them. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up, you know, we look at how the colleges have their agendas. And people go through college and they don't learn anything. They think they do, but they really don't. But they learn an agenda. And everybody has to stick with the agenda. And the agenda becomes so important that it doesn't really matter whether anybody actually learns anything. They just get their paper and then they go get a big job. Homeschooling can become the same way. We can put the agenda ahead of learning. And so we go through the agendas, and we just as well give them a college degree when they get through with it, whether we really think they've learned anything or not. Training children is not about 3 hours a day of schooling. Instructing children is taking your children in life and making everything an opportunity to learn. You know everything you can do. You can work on their addition or their math, subtraction, their speaking. Teach them to read, give them the fundamentals, and then build on those things from there. Take your children, after they've learned how to read, and give them an instruction of how to build something. And make them read it. And learn from it. Adapt from it. There's just all kinds of ways. That's your responsibility as parents. That's what it means to teach them and train them. We can turn school into just another education department instead of a life department. It takes time to do that. It takes time to let the children do something that you can do in 2 minutes, and it'll take them 30. But your job's training your children, not getting your job done in 2 minutes. They become an inconvenience. You know, we don't have TVs. We say we don't. But just because it's 4 inches instead of 27... I don't know. Is a 2-inch TV a TV, or has it got to be 27 inches? Or 48, or 56, or 132, whatever they got to be anymore. We don't have rules as much that says that no TVs allowed, because we don't want those things. We don't want regulations on all of those things, because we say that we're in control of them. We're in control of what the children watch, what the children see. We might have, we just give them the phone, let them dig around on the internet, see whatever they can find. That's not being in control of the situation. I think it's a, there's nothing wrong with watching something together or letting them see things. Watching a thing once in a while, not a thing wrong with that. But if they're choosing and picking what they're watching, and they have free rein to whatever they want to watch, it's out of control. And that's why people have rules, is to try to control these things. That's why churches have rules that they're not allowed. It's because they know people won't control them. It's your responsibility to control them. Like I said, I'm not saying throw them away or throw them all out. You can. There's helpful things there. There's even little fun things there. But you better be in control of it, or it will take control. And all that you've done will go right out the window. Training our children. This next portion says wisdom at work. I just like the title of that. You know, there's a lot of people who have wisdom, but it don't work. They think they've got wisdom. Real wisdom works. Phony wisdom is just a bunch of hot air. It's just talk. Real wisdom works. It's neat honoring parents, and the next thing's wisdom, because they go together. Wisdom applied is the focus of the family. Making or on giving? What are you teaching your children? That you're a maker or that you're a giver? You know, we all work and we can all be prosperous. And we can show them how to make. It's right there. But at the end of the day, what are they getting out of you? Oh, he's a maker. Or is he a giver? What are they seeing out of you? Just a thought. Verse 17 says, "My son, accomplish your works with gentleness, and you will be loved by people the Lord accepts." The greater you are, the more humble you must be, and you will find grace before the Lord, because great is the power of the Lord, and he is honored by the humble. Now, what do we think of humble? What is humble? Pretending you're not what you are. Is that humble? Pretending you're not what you are. Humility is being just exactly what you are. If you can tie your shoes and you say, "Oh, I can't tie my shoes," that's not humble. Humble is just tying your shoes, because you can tie your shoes. So many people put on this phony, prideful idea of humility. By trying to pretend like they're something that they're not. You know, we think of people pretending that they're something that they're not by someone exalting himself, bragging about him being able to do something and not being able to do it. But pretending to be something you're not is when you're able to do something and pretending like you can't do anything. It is the same thing. Exactly the same. Read these next few verses. He is honored by the humble, and do not seek things too difficult for you. Nor examine what is beyond your strength. See, whenever he's talking about humility, he's not saying about pretend like you can't do something. It's saying if there's something out there you don't know about or don't understand, don't worry about it. Just do what you can do. Don't examine what's beyond your strength. Think about is what is commanded you, for you do not need what the Lord keeps hidden. Do not meddle in what is none of your business. This is wisdom at work. This is what we're trying to get our children to turn out to be people like this. Think about what is commanded you, and for you do not need what the Lord keeps hidden. Do not meddle in what is none of your business, for things beyond human insight have been shown to you. Speculation has led many astray, and evil suppositions have caused their minds to slip and fall. Whenever you start reaching, searching for something that's beyond you, that's the essence of not being humble. People start speculating out there, way out there, trying to look for something that's none of their business. Speculation has led many astray. These are things that we can apply to ourselves in these verses here. But this is what we want our children to know too. That's what we're training them for. See, when we read verses that tell us about humility, that tell us about reaching beyond ourselves in these speculations of things we don't know, this is what we want our children to be able to know and understand. This is what a man is. That's our goal for ourselves. That's our goal for our children. When we read how to live, this is what we need to be instructing and applying to our children, putting it to work in our lives, teaching our children those things. My son, accomplish your works with gentleness, and you will be loved by the people that the Lord accepts. Being merciful, being patient, at work. Wisdom at work. That's what we want our children to catch. We want our children not just to have all the answers, ever looking to expand their mind and their knowledge with things that are above them. But to carry out and to live out what's right in front of them. See, most people in religion are speculating on something out there that's higher, wiser, above them. Always looking for that next little thing that will set them apart as a Christian. Instead of just taking care of the business that's right in front of them. See, that's what humility is. Humility is accepting your life right where you are. Pride and unhumility is looking way out there for some super answer. Some speculation of an answer that many have fallen by. Being a disciple is very challenging. But what makes it challenging is the battle of just staying in your place. Being humble enough just to take your place as a father, as a mother, as a child, and be right there where you are. Showing the mercy, showing the graces of being a disciple in everyday life. That is true humility. That is wisdom at work. It's not knowing all the wild answers of all Christianity. It's not being able to study all the histories and know all of those things, looking for some secret answer to Christianity. It's right in front of you. And right in front of you, if you have children, is the answer. It's right in front of you. Am I just taking care of what God has given me responsibility for? These children. And it's so simple. The wise just fall over it all, trip over it all day long. And it grinds them to powder. And Lord, add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share?
I was thinking about this is our moment. Thank you for that.
Praise the Lord.
Encouragement to have a mission. I mean, it's just not going to last. I just have to remind myself. That's a great amount of time at all. Let's go on.
The time we live in, there are things all around us that most people never were exposed to. We can pretend like we don't live in this time, or we can train our children to make wise decisions with the things that they are going to face. That's the point of all the things that are at our fingertips. We have to make those decisions that will teach the children to make wise decisions. It's going to be there. It's there. We can ignore it and just try to hide from it and hope that it doesn't happen, but or we can train our children that there's better things.
Yeah. Whoever